Ahoy, mateys. Welcome to the SS Gutting the Sacred Cow. How's it going? I'm Captain Kevin Goatee here, and we are super ecstatic to have our old buddy Stoner Jesus back this week as he attempts to try and gut his second film, and that is The Wizard of Oz. That's right, the classic of all classics is right in the middle of cannon fire from Stoner Jesus. Before we get to it, hey, kids, go over to guttingthesacredcow.com every single day for more swashbuckling, fun old good times. And if you want to advertise with us or just want to say, hey, great job, guys, guttingthesacredcow at gmail.com. That's it. Hope you're appreciating all the stuff we're giving you every day at guttingthesacredcow.com for our blogs. And we hope you love our episodes. We know you do. The numbers keep going up. So thanks again and keep telling a friend. And without any further ado, here is Stoner Jesus doing Wizard of Oz.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah, it's turning me down.
Yeah, that doesn't
matter, cause we're gutting the sacred cow.
Yeah, I know you got your secrets. Everybody got secrets. Didn't know you like to get wet, dog. What's wet? Butt naked, ill, sherms, dust, PCP, primos, P-dog. That's what you had. That's what you were smoking. You couldn't taste it? No, I've never done it. You have now. Kevin Israel in that film.
Training Day.
Oh, he got it. I thought that might have been too off the beaten path.
That's one of the quotes, like my buddies constantly go, you like to get wet?
I do. Good one.
That's funny. That's one of the quotes that I haven't thought about for our blogs, but my buddies and I actually say all the time.
Do you guys smoke PCP after you do, just to keep in touch?
Obviously.
You're very shot of a cannon. Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, back. And we're back with a familiar face, Stoner Jesus, aka Joe Clare. How you doing, Joe? What's going on?
Doing great, Kevin. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing back, Joe. Fantastically. Joe has chosen a film I'm very surprised it's taken this long to get to. This has to be, I mean, when you think of all-time classics, it's got to be top 10 for sure. Joe has selected The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I think when you say classic movie, this is
a knee-jerk reaction.
The prototype of classic movie. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. 1939. Came out a budget of $2.8 million. That's a lot of money back in 29. Yeah. And a box office haul of $29.7 million. Turn that into 2021 money. A $52 million budget, $552.5 million haul. This thing made boku bucks. Not bad.
There were like four movies that came out that year.
So I know. Of course. And wait till I get to the Amazon 5-star reviews when people talk about what it was like going to the movies then. You'll get a kick.
My granddaughter is typing this
one. Here we go. IMDb, as we know, a 1 through 10 scale with decimal points. Joe, what do you think The Wizard of Oz scored on IMDb?
I'll say 8.8.
Kevin Israel?
9.1.
What, boy, both of you should get both showcases. 8.9. Wow. You guys were on top of it. Yeah. Very well loved. Kevin Israel, Rotten Tomatoes score 1 through 100. You know the drill. Hit me, baby, one more time.
This is critics.
Critics.
I'm going to stay high. I'm going to go 92.
Joe.
86.
98. 98. Jesus. 98. Oh, I'm surprised you guys didn't go that high. I at least pegged it for 96 or above when I was doing this work. Audience score. Back to you, Joe. What did the audience score, Wizard of Oz?
I'll go with 86 again.
86. Kevin Israel?
I go 90 flat.
89.
So close. So close.
You boys aren't too far off. You must be busy bullseyeing womp rats with Luke Skywalker. quotes the obvious. I'll get you, I'll get you my pretty and your little dog too. A twister, a twister. I'm melting. And one of my favorite ones I still use here and there when people want to, you know, be a wise ass, especially when they find out you're a comic. I'll go, how about a little fire, Scarecrow? You want to play? You want to play this game? Sure. Okay. Devin Israel quotes.
I mean, you covered it all. This, you know, I was surprised, and there's a lot that in my notes that I didn't pick up on from back in the day, but they say humbug, and the only time I've ever heard humbug before is in Christmas Carol. So yeah. I guess that was a word that was used back then. That was the only thing that stuck out to me.
I see. Joe, how about you?
One I'll bring up here later, a little spoiler alert, is I think I'll miss you most of all, which annoys me. And it's not an observation, but I'll get into it.
Okay, good enough. Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Five fun facts.
The original Tin Man was Buddy Ebsen, who had to quit because he was allergic to the aluminum dust in the makeup for Tin Man. Bad laydown. Dorothy's daughter in real life, Liza Minnelli, married the Tin Man's son 35 years later after the movie had premiered. Hmm. Keep it in the family. Number three, the Cowardly Lion costume weighed 90 pounds, and the actor had to take it off in between takes not to overheat. The costume sold for in 2014 for, want to take a guess how much?
$45,000.
Wait, Joe says $45,000. Kevin, you're in your internet cracked out. What was it?
Yeah, $1.5 million.
$3 million.
Holy shit.
I mean, listen, I will fully, and if I get to that, when I get to that point, I will fully buy a full-size Darth Vader. I will buy all the replica Star Wars lightsabers I can get my hands on. I will get all that stuff. But no one I could never imagine going to someone's house and then beaming with pride going, "Huh? There's a Cowardly Lion costume." That just, no.
I hope they did something creepy with it.
Yeah, like they bought all the costumes and they had them like the human centipede. The lion's bending
laid
over
out like
Man.
A rug.
Yeah. the lion's bending over to Tin Man, who's knee deep in the Scarecrow, who's knee deep in Dorothy. It's great. Next one. Margaret Hamilton, who played the Wicked Witch, suffered second-degree burns on her face, third-degree burns on her hand when filming the fiery exit scene from Munchkinland. Her makeup was copper-based, a.k.a. toxic, and if it wasn't immediately removed, she would have died.
Wow. This is a hazardous movie.
You want to talk about how unfair Hollywood is? Toto the dog made $125 a week while filming. One of the munchkins made 50. 50 bucks a week to be a munchkin.
Yeah, much bigger part, to be fair.
What was that?
You had a much bigger part, to be fair.
That's true. but if you're, I make less than Rin Tin Tin or Hooch. This is horse shit. And now, Kevin Israel, our time for our favorite new subject, our segment, excuse me, Ask a Gutter.
Ask a gutter, ask a gutter, ask a gutter, ask a gutter.
Our buddy Newark Knight, Brandon Oglesby, he wants to know, would an adventure through the land of Oz be better on sativa or indica? And which character in the movie would you want to smoke with?
Definitely sativa. I mean, there's a lot going on. You want to be as aware and alert for all that as possible. You got flying monkeys that coming at you. You got to know how to move and how to react. As far as who I'd want to smoke with, I was thinking about it. I'm thinking Glinda, the Good Witch of the North, would mm-hmm. be perfect. I think, you know, you get her really high, some of those inhibitions let loose, and I think she'd be a really good time.
Good question. Good answer. Next one, Ty Tannenbaum says, I always found the Wizard of Oz to be cheesy as a kid. They would play it at school during downtime with substitutes. It is safe and inoffensive. Return to Oz is the superior film. I've never seen or had the desire to see Return to Oz because I heard it was a glorious piece of shit.
I never saw it either.
No. Our old pal Guama Hairstone L at Llama Lavender. If you had to choose one, would you rather be like the Scarecrow, Tin Man, or Lion? She picks the Tin Man because at least he would get plot armor. How about you? How about you, Joe?
I would have to go with the Lion. I mean, for all his faults, in the end, he's still a lion. Mm-hmm. And I think more than like, you know, rusting in the rain or, you know, being made of hay and being caught on fire all the time.
Kevin Israel, do you have a thought on that?
Who I'd rather be in the in the group?
Yes.
I think I'd rather be Scarecrow because I have a feeling he was getting some from Dorothy.
What makes you think that?
That I'll miss you most of all at the end in that kiss. I feel like there was something more going on behind the scenes there. So I'm going Scarecrow.
Okay. I'd rather be Toto. He had more charisma than any of them. I don't know. Lord Snurts wants to know, for Stoner Jesus, great name, and The Wizard of Oz, who would you cast in a Tim Burton-like remake, a darker, weirder take of the original? He wants to know Dorothy, the two witches, Scarecrow, Lion, and Tin Man.
Jesus.
That's a lot.
I know.
I didn't mention Oz. The first person I thought of for Oz was Danny DeVito.
Okay, good one. Very good one, actually.
Dorothy, for some reason, Miley Cyrus popped in my head.
Ugh, I hate her.
I do, too. She'd be pulling her tits out on Yellow Brick Road every 13 steps.
Yeah, with their tongue hanging out.
Yeah. Not a fan. Weird
marking tattoos.
Yeah.
The witches, the good witch, Nicole Kidman, popped in my head. The bad witch, I'm not sure why, because she's hot, Kate Beckinsale. But, I mean, you know, if it's going to be an updated version, you can make her a little hotter. Still, she can still be bad and be hot.
Sure.
Yeah, she'd still be green and be hot.
Yeah.
Tin Man, first person popped in my head was Bruce Willis. It's not a very physical role anymore, so I think he can handle it. Scarecrow, I guess it'd be kind of cheesy and cliche to say Jim Carrey, but he was the first one that popped in my head.
That's a good cast.
Yeah.
That's a good casting.
The Lion, I wanted to say John Goodman, but not like John
Goodman. I was thinking John Goodman. Holy
That's
shit.
Good. That's good.
That's crazy. I thought, because he said Tim Burton, I thought of the obvious one. Oh, Helena Bonham Carter would be the Wicked Witch of the West, because he is her muse. He is in every one of those films, so that's why I thought it would be his go-to. But I like the Danny DeVito. I love the John Goodman. I love the word association we got going on here, and Joe's kicking ass with these questions. Next one from our buddy Ray Sicanus. By the way, that episode airing as we speak, Ray does Highlander. Ray wants to know, do you think that roles for little people have improved since Oz came out, or has it gotten worse somehow?
Well, off the top of my head, I really can't think of any, like, you know, little people movies with big little people cast. The first person I think of, obviously, is Tyrion from Game of Thrones. But other than that, I can't, you know, I mean, it's going well for him. But as far as, like, the general little people population, I don't think movies is their thing.
There was that guy in Joker who's been in a decent amount of stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, it has to have gotten better. I mean, the pay alone probably is a little more equitable.
And the guy who was in Willow. Which is a terrible film. And then, of course, the very dead Vern Troyer from Austin Powers films.
That's right. He's dead.
Wasn't he doing it? Didn't he do a porno? I swear to God, I think he did a porno where he definitely was partying with chicks, and there was video of our photos of him banging out Playboy.
Yeah, he lived hard, literally.
Yeah, when you can fit into a saddle shoe, I think you only have a short amount of time on this earth, so you might as well go balls out. When you can fit a McDonald's chicken nugget container of 20, it's time to really go nuts. Any other questions? Yes, Taco Shirt Krillin wants to know, have you ever tried the old trick of watching The Wizard of Oz with the sound off and playing Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon on? Is it, and if so, does it make the movie better or worse for you? And with a name like Stoner Jesus, I had to ask.
Actually, that was an idea I had for my show a long, long time ago, but I never got around to doing it. There was like copyright issues and stuff like that when you broadcast live and stuff. But it was an idea that I had for the show maybe, God, probably 7 or 8 years ago at least. Something to do for, you know, with commentary and whatnot. But it just, I couldn't see it coming all together. And if the sync was off, it would have been awful. And, you know, so I didn't want to put the work in is about the bottom line.
What's the rule is you started on like the Lion's Third Roar or something, and then it works.
You got me.
I'm not sure. I have to Google.
Yeah. So I tell you what, why don't you guys sync up Dark Side of the Moon to this podcast? And I promise it won't work. I mean, there you go. Okay, that does it for all the questions. Now, Kevin Israel, it's time for Joe Clare, a.k.a. Stoner Jesus 2.
Gut the
sacred cow. Wow.
Cow.
This internet connection is terrible. Yuck. Take it away, Joe.
That's going to be hard to follow, but I'll do my best.
There you go.
First of all, you can go back and watch Wizard of Oz like I did. I rewatched it on HBO Max. Make sure you click Wizard of Oz. Don't click the TV show Oz. They're very different. You'll be in for a really rough surprise. Although, ironically enough, one of my biggest pet peeves of Wizard of Oz is the complete lack of violent man rape. So
I was just going to say, not enough violent man rape in the Wizard of Oz for my taste. That's for sure.
Awful. Hour 41. 1939, as you mentioned, when the movie came out, one of the big things that people say about this movie is very visually impressive, especially when they go to the color part of it. I'm sure it was in 1939. They had a lot of shit going on in 1939. They had Nazis running everywhere. The Great Depression. Weed has just been made illegal 2 years before. But I smoked a lot of weed while watching this movie. I was not impressed. Maybe if I had some like LSD or some really good, you know, good hardcore recreational drugs, I'd have been like, man, this is crazy. This is the greatest movie I've ever seen. But, weed is just not enough to get me to that point. Some of the problems I had with the movie, obviously, one of the first ones is Old Lady Gulch comes to take Toto. She pulls this piece of paper out of her purse or whatever and hands it over. And it has to these, you know, to Dorothy's, people, it has like the force of law. She's just some woman who says, hey, I got this piece of paper from the sheriff. He says, I can take your dog. They look at it and say, well, she's got this piece of paper. She can take the dog. And they let her take the dog. I don't know what kind of law allows for that, but I'm not a 1939 legal scholar, but that seemed rather odd to me. Professor Marvel in the beginning, he's a really bad swindler. He's got the whole thing down, what he's doing. But in the end, he swindles Dorothy, but he doesn't get any money or anything from her, and she just runs off. But he gets better at that later in the movie. Dorothy, during the tornado, when she gets locked out of the cellar, and I don't know, this may be a weak point, but it struck me as odd. When they're in the cellar, I don't know how loud it is in the cellar with the tornado outside and whatnot, I don't know how loud it is down in the ground, but she's thumping and kicking on this door. Not long, it seems, after they went down in the cellar, it seems to me that they heard that. I think that they knew exactly what was going on, but they weren't going to risk. They figured this was their chance to get rid of Dorothy. So they want to risk letting her into the cellar. But I got to think, with the lack of tornado noise down there, they heard her thumping, and they were trying to kill her. obviously, has a very vivid dream. I mean, the dreams I have, there's like three people in them, and I'm one of them, and nothing's ever going on. Her dream has 500 extras, like 50 speaking parts or singing parts, if you will. And it seems like a lot. Obviously, she gets in the head, but the first thing I thought was, what does she have to eat? Like before this, she has some kind of Indian food or whatnot. And I don't mean the Indian in the offensive way of saying it. I mean Indian food as in food from India that will give you explosive diarrhea. But of course, we learn later on in the movie, thankfully, that it's not anything like that. She just has like some serious brain trauma and probably a concussion and maybe brain damage. And it was a weird note to end the movie on, I thought. But you know, Dorothy having brain damage, I guess it was worse things.
You know, I'm pretty sure there weren't many Indian restaurants in Kansas, let alone Indian restaurants in Kansas circa 1939.
Maybe one. Maybe a Thai place. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Now, I do have to give credit where credit is due. There's few things I've seen in a movie that are as gangsta as dropping a house on a bitch and then jacking her shoes. Nothing is more hardcore than that. I would defy you. So that's pretty good. Of course, it's not a diverse movie. It was 1939. Everybody is white. All of the munchkins are white. Of course, you can't say munchkins anymore. All the little people are white. I know there's some redneck racist pieces of shit out there right now saying, hey, what about the monkeys? Fuck you, you racist piece of shit. Shut your mouth. That's awful. That's an awful thing to think. That's an awful thing to say. You should be ashamed of yourself. The worst thing about this movie, as you alluded to kind of earlier, it's like the worst porno ever. It's all set up. You never get down to anything. I'm waiting the entire time, hour 41, for these Comic-Con nerds to run a train on Dorothy, and there's absolutely nothing. They get nothing for all their effort, all their trouble, not a damn thing. Although I do hope that the Scarecrow was getting some, you know, in the deleted scenes. I have no idea. of course, when Oz later on, when he's Professor Marvel, whatever, he sucks. But when he's kind of honed his, in her dream, his swindling skills, he's like pawning them off all this crap he pulls out of this junk he got from like a yard sale out of this bag, and he gives it to them. And they're all like, yeah, that's great, man. That's sweet. Now I have a heart and I have courage and all this other garbage. So at least he grew, in that aspect. The quote I mentioned earlier, I think I miss you most of all. She tells, you know, the Tin Man in the line or whatever, she's going to miss them. She loves them, blah, blah, blah. She gets to the Scarecrow and she like leans in. It looks like she's going to whisper, but she just says, I think I miss you most of all, in like her regular normal tone of voice and her normal volume, to where the other two can obviously hear it. And again, this is not an original observation of mine. I've seen it in other places, including they alluded to it in the Family Guy episode, but it just seems like a dick move. After all they've been through, they've risked their life for her. They risked their life to save her, to get her back home. And it seems unnecessary in front of them to kind of show favoritism to the Scarecrow, especially again, after they've gotten nothing. They got nothing out of this broad, not a Handy J out in the field or
Handy J
third base behind the Witch's Castle. None of that. They got nothing. And she's going to be a bitch right when she's leaving. I thought that was awful. Overall, the reason I don't, it's not the cheesiness of Wizard of Oz that bothers me. It's that Dorothy is needy, gullible. She's annoying. She's meddlesome. She sings at weird times. I don't know why you would sing so much in normal life. That's awful. By the way, I hate musicals. It was another problem of this movie.
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
Murdered two women. Now, the second one, you know, admittedly was a self-defense because she was going to kill her. But the first one was straight up murder, and no one seems to care. And in the end of the movie, she's still all of these things. She's still needy, gullible, annoying, meddlesome. She's learned a lesson. That's great. She's a little more grateful for her family and her loved ones, and that's awesome. But she's still basically the same person she was when she started out. And I don't root for her against the Wicked Witch. I don't root for her to get home. I don't root for her to get rescued. I find myself not caring at all what happens to her. And when she does get home and wakes up and she's all happy and she's learned a lesson, I don't find any joy in that because I feel that she's still the same annoying broad that she began the movie as, and that pisses me off. And that's my case against the Wizard of Oz. Thank you.
Wow. That's
nice. I like it.
Succinct. I like it as well. Joe, number from 1 to 10, please, of your thoughts on Wizard of Oz.
It has merit. I would give it like a 4 overall. I mean, I think if it's a good show, a good movie for kids, like the, you know, the colors and stuff, that's great. Or again, you know, if you're really high on LSD or something, pop that bitch in or go to HBO Max or whatever. But I just, you know, I was bored and I didn't care as I was watching it last night.
Fair. I mean, that's why you chose this film, is to drag it down. Well, these notes are brought to you by GuttingTheSacredCow.com, where every single day we are bringing you hilarity, tomfoolery, whimsy, general merriment. You know those favorite topics we like to talk about. that doesn't happen. That is our Kevin Israel. That is going to be our indelible mark we leave on this earth when we leave, is that doesn't happen. Movie news.
Agreed.
Trailer talk, all that good stuff. Grab a shirt, grab a hat, grab a bag, grab a mug, grab whatever. It's all on guttingthesacredcow.com. And if you want to stop by, drop a note to us. That's guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com, as well as to advertise with us. Hit us up, say hi, and we love you. These notes. The background sets, I could not, they look insanely fake. This is clearly a step above background paintings above a high school production. Like the painted sets look terrible. Like the sets look fine, but the painting for the background looked awful. It just jumped right out to me. Dorothy sounds hysterical every time she speaks, as if her tone is consistently set on telling somebody that a hospital of children is on fire with that level of intensity. Everything is a 9.8 on the Richter scale of importance to her. Elmira Gulch has a nose that rivals Sam the Eagle from the Muppets. Auntie M says, she says that I'm a Christian woman and that forbids me from saying that. Where does it say in the Bible you're forbidden to say anything? I went to CCD and made my confirmation, and I'm 100% sure that the Ten Commandments don't disallow you from calling someone a cunt if you so desire. When the fortune teller put on the turban, I had no idea that just putting on a turban would magically give you the powers to tell the future. Because if that was the case, you would have thought Nick Cannon would have learned his lesson by wearing a turban, would have noted, hey, these rap albums, not going to sell well, are they? Fortune teller, you know how this is how we're going to get these fortune teller fraudsters out of here. If someone says they're a fortune teller, I want you to tell me, what is my number one term search when I type in for porn sites? What's my go-to term in porn sites? If you can answer that question, I'll listen to what you're saying. Funny in how her, what's that? What'd you say? Guck? No. No. Funny in how her dream where the house is in the tornado, there is nothing blowing around inside the room. Only when she goes to the window do you see shit getting windy. I guess they forgot a little thing called aerodynamics, how wind works. An open window, shit's going to blow around. It's also funny how you see a Kansas house get sucked up in a tornado, and you don't see a bunch of Mountain Dew Code Red bottles, WWF wrestling belts, and a Marbo canoe bought with miles go flying around her house. Mm-hmm. For all of you on the podcast, They're smiling and nodding. They're not laughing out loud. I know it's an audio more than anything else.
You could put in the laughter post.
I don't do that. Only the sound effects. A village of little people equals 4 million eons of good luck if you tussle each of their heads. Just want to do the math for you folks on that one. The Lollipop Guild are throwing up signs that closely resemble Heil Hitler. Imagine if they were a hate group, they'd be called the One Third Reich. Hey-o!
Hey,
that's good. This film had to have been the inspiration for Alvin and the Chipmunks, one of the lamest cartoons this country has ever had to endure. I haven't seen that many short people since I went to DJ's in Belmar 20 years ago. That joke's for all you Jersey folks out there. The Lollipop Guild looks like they all have rickets or polio, probably both. Being it was 1939. Funny how the witch just wanted to take Dorothy's shoes and 70 years later, people were getting shot for their Air Jordans. I dare call this film a trendsetter. I do think it was a masterful colorization with this film. It still pops, considering.
It does.
But these set pieces, as I said before, they look faker than Pam Anderson's tits in 1995. They had to work on that part. The lions, Dorothy asks a great question to the lion. How can you talk without a brain? And he goes, well, some people can. Yeah, they're called Philadelphia Eagles fans. Ha.
There it is.
The talking tree sounds like he's one more pack of Marlboro Reds away from a voice box. Can someone explain when every character is introduced, they have to break out in song and dance? Is this mandatory in this film? We don't need that. We don't need a whole song and dance and a Charleston shimmy away up the Yellow Brick Road as they sing and lament their current state. Damn it, I forgot to play Dark Side of the Moon. I guess I have to watch this movie over again to really get the whole feel for it. Well, to me, it's painfully obvious. The Cowardly Lion definitely inspired Sylvester the Cat from Looney Tunes. Put him up, put him up, put him up. Like I said, they have to break out in a song and dance and announce where they're going. I think that'd be more fun if we all did that every time we got into a cab or a YouTube, you know?
I'm down for that.
Yeah. It's like,
let's all have a theme song.
Ready? Here's mine. I'm off to get a blowjob from a random girl at the bar. The Lion's
will, costume. I will end up divorced.
And give up half of my shit. The Lion looks like he has labias on his face. Just write that one down, Kevin.
I said something about, I didn't say labia, but his face looks like a rejected Star Wars character.
Nien Numb from Return of the Jedi, who co-piloted the Millennium Falcon at the end.
Yes, exactly.
I know what the fuck.
Looked like a catfish thing or something like that.
I call him the vagina face co-pilot of the Falcon and Jedi. And people know exactly what I'm talking about. Speaking of the Lion, I'd rather have front row seats at a Travis Scott concert than hang out with the Cowardly Lion in his fake bravado and singing. He's annoying. But the Wizard of Oz, boy, does he abuses alliteration more than R. Kelly abused 13-year-old girls. I get it. You like alliteration. I do too, but not every piece of dialogue needs to be alliteration. The Scarecrow sounded exactly like Jackie Mason. I like how Dorothy uses the Force to talk via the crystal ball. Couldn't she force choke the Lion when he started to sing? The ending. How does the witch melt by water? What a complete cheat and lazy way to kill her without any explanation or setup why she can't have water on her. This, I hated this element of the film. What a cop out. So then the wizard gives the Lion a diploma and says, now you have a brain. So a diploma fixes people who need a brain. It sounds like the Wizard of Oz never attended a community college graduation or hung out with TGI Friday's night managers. Mm-hmm. How did the fortune teller know where Dorothy lived, where he magically shows up outside of her window? After a tornado, wouldn't you be worried about your own shit? But he shows up. Dorothy, time to carry pepper spray. By the way, I don't know why. I guess I was taking a moment or two longer. If you look at the end when the credits roll, quote, the singer midgets as the Munchkins. That is verbatim as how they are listed in the
credits. That's problematic.
I think the SJWs are lighting their own torches. Be careful. Don't get too close to the Scarecrow. I also had an audience watching this. My daughter joined me, my six-year-old, and thought it was all right. Not a fan of the witch. I'll tell you that. Kind of scared of the witch. For 2021, this holds up kind of well. I loved it as a kid, but I'm sure every kid did. I haven't seen this in 30 years or more, maybe. This movie is fine. It's fine. I'm not crazy about the singing. You know that. Not passing the remote test. Never going to watch this again. I see why it's a monumental film. I'm not loving it. It doesn't irk me. It's fine. 5.5 out of 10. Kevin Israel, Your Honor, Your Honor.
Well, I will start off with immediately contradicting what Goatee just said, because I did not like this movie as a kid. I thought it was annoying, and I didn't understand the singing in the movie. The singing in the movie to me as a kid always felt like it was shoehorned in, like it didn't belong. And it didn't, because the movie was originally a book that was actually, no surprise, way better than the movie is. And this is really one of those cases of where they loosely based a property off of a book. And, you know, you can see some of the elements of the book in this movie. It does have dark themes to it. First of all, they all celebrate murder for the first third of the movie. An entire civilization dances and says, and then they bring out a singing coroner to confirm that this lady is dead. Like, that is some twisted shit right there. and then everybody just starts celebrating that this lady's, I get that she was bad, but holy shit. And this is for some kids, this is like one of the first movies they saw, and they're like, oh, we get to sing when somebody dies. That's just a weird, but in the book was very dark. The travels that she went through and the different adventures that they met were all violent and scary. And you see some of that in this. Obviously the flying monkeys are creepy. I can't remember what the soldiers were called, what the witch's soldiers were called. The Winkies or something like that. They were also very, and it might have only been in the book that they called them anything, but they were also there. You know, they were also creepy. The tree throwing those trees were it was all kind of there, but then it was sort of Disney'd down. Not that this is a Disney movie, but sort of Disney'd down for kids. But this still really doesn't play like a kids movie. Like it doesn't feel like it's scary in the beginning. You know, there's the tornado. It's you know, as a kid, it's a traumatic thing to watch. And by the way, Dorothy lives in Kansas. She clearly is prepared for tornadoes, and she runs into the house. I've never seen a tornado. I don't live in a tornado area, and I know the first thing you do is you have to stand under a door jamb, the door, right. The frame.
No, it's
and
an earthquake. That's an earthquake
for a tornado too, because it's this sturdy portion of the house. Or you go in the bathroom and get into the bathtub. Those are the two things you do. And she just runs into her bedroom, and then I think Kev said she gets hit in the head by, you know, some mysterious vortex of weather versus non-weather. It must have been a pressure thing. And then she's just out on the bed. So she's horribly prepared for this. But the story in whole, it is based around two kind of MacGuffins. One is these ruby slippers that are supposedly powerful. The witch really wants, but you never find out exactly what they do or why they matter. It's more vague than the One Ring in Lord of the Rings. Like, everybody wants to get this. It does something, but nobody ever knows really what it does until the end, when she finds out, oh, she had the way to get home the entire time. Like, and the witch gives her this bullshit, like, you needed to figure out how to get home. Fuck you, lady. Like, you knew what I was going to go through. Yeah, you know what would have been, you know what would have been better than the lesson I learned? Not nearly dying three times. How about that? How about you just told me how I could get home, and we skipped over the lady with the fireball and the crazy apple throwing trees. But the witch, speaking of the witch, the good witch clearly was the inspiration for the Ghost of Christmas Present in Scrooged. And if you haven't seen it, it never even occurred to me, but she was clearly completely recreating that character. And I love Scrooge. So that immediately jumped out to me.
Didn't think of that. Fantastic observation. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. This movie should have been a more of an epic adventure. And I hate to keep going back to the book. We had all of it. And Kev loves when I relate things back to my Dungeons & Dragons days, but this had all of the elements, almost like a Lord of the Rings. Like, you had the kind of the reluctant hero character in Dorothy. You had, you know, she slowly acquired her band, her team, her party of adventurers who each had an ability that was necessary. You know, it's actually not clear really what the Tin Man did, but he did have an axe, and I mean, I guess he chopped up that thing, but he could have been the warrior. Lion served a point, and the Scarecrow was the thinker. And then they go on and they have some adventures, and then they get to the final big bad guy and they do battle, which, by the way, and Kev was right. Water, really? That's what killed her? Just a splash of water? Not even like making her drink water or like some, just one splash of water and she's dead? Mm-hmm. That's a terrible, terrible weakness. That's like M. Night Shyamalan did that with what's his name in Unbreakable. Water was his weakness. And then he died in a puddle. So I guess that seems appropriate. But there really felt like there could have been a lot more with this, the story. And as far as the actual adventure that was happening, the music is all horrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously Somewhere Over the Rainbow is a classic song, but the rest of the songs are just all painful to listen to and to try to get through. And then the Lion gets this second song towards when they're in the Emerald City. I don't even know what he was singing about. Something about he wants to be the king of the animals or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just a terrible, terrible song. I don't hate musicals nearly as much as Mr. Goatee does, but this was an absolute brutal one. Also, I am a huge dog. And if some lady showed up at my house and that said that she was going to put my dog to sleep, I would beat the shit out of her. And I would never hit a woman. But if you're going to come after my dogs, fuck you. And Dorothy just sits there and cries and lets her take the... No, that's not going down in any way, shape, or form. And you're right. You can't. And I am a lawyer. You can't just show up as a private citizen with a piece of paper and say, yeah, they told me that I could take your dog. Go fuck yourself. Come back with the sheriff and five deputy sheriffs. That's how much it's going to take to get my dog from me.
With shotguns, because you're going to need them.
Yeah. It's going to be a long night for everybody. And my other question is, how old was Dorothy? Because she looks like she seems like she's supposed to be about 14 or 15. She talks and acts like she's 8. But the actress looks like she's in her 20s, I guess. So it's just this odd. It almost feels like she's acting like some guy's creepy fantasy, like little girl fantasy. Like her entire persona is based off of some like Brazzers little girl video and that's why I said at the end when she goes, and I'll miss you most of all, and she goes in for the kiss, I was like, what the fuck is happening? What did I miss between these two? Was there something edited out? And Kev, it was also a good point. The giving them the diploma, he goes, and everybody has a diploma. I spent 4.5 years in college and got a diploma, and I don't think there's any proof that I have a brain, and I would not go around bragging about it. Still, look, this movie, I didn't like it as a kid. I still don't like it as an adult. It's the acting is painful, and I get that there's, you have to take into account some of the time period, but the acting is so painful. The last scene when she wakes up and they all start coming over and he's like, you remember me, don't you? I'm Hunk. And you remember me, don't you? I'm whatever his name was. It's like, dude, she got hit in the head. She didn't become retarded. Like, she knows who you all are. But then she actually acts like she's suddenly an idiot. She's like, don't you all believe me? Oh yeah, sure. We believe you that the house flew to a magical land full of munchkins and flying monkeys. Yes, absolutely, we believe you. 14-year-old girl who acts 18 but acts 8 and looks 20. I didn't like it as a kid. I like it even less as an adult. I'm on the verge of having a child, and I actually said to my wife, I hope we never have to make our kid watch this. There's so many better kids movies out today, and this hopefully will not be on the list. I kind of hate you for making me have to watch this movie again.
Wow. But
luckily it is kind of short for me. This movie, I'll grant it the historical significance and give it a 3.
I'm on the high end, it sounds like, huh? And 5.5. I mean, it's fine. I get all the arguments. I do. It's just, okay. The singing, you're right. The singing is atrocious on all accounts. Let's see. But people who love to string a bunch of words together that don't necessarily have any business being strung together, doing critics 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews. 5-star reviews by critics.
Yeah. Here we go. The Wizard of Oz has been filmed with imagination. Is that when people say it's baked with love, you blowhard assholes? Shut up. It has warmth and understanding of child psychology. It has gentle humor and a sturdy philosophical undercurrent. It is a rare and distinguished film that should capture the hearts of all ages. Breathtakingly lovely sets, lighting, costumes, makeup, and musical scores more than fulfill expectations, making the play an even note satisfactory adaptation of the book, then was Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
What?
That wasn't coherent, right?
No, I don't know who Mr. Chips is.
Goodbye, Mr. Chips is a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a book, too, but I didn't read nor see the film. One cannot say that this is a rival to Disney, but it is nearest to fantasy as one can get with human actors. I'm under the spell of Oz. Oh, so you like when creepy guys cower over a young girl? Like, remember me?
Huh? Oh. Mm.
The Wizard of Oz is an exciting tour de force that keeps the eye and ear constantly occupied, bothers the brain very little. It is hearty and unsubtle, generous, and sometimes in its high riot, intoxicating. What? Intoxicating. You know how many times I rewound this film? None. Critics, one-star reviews.
Critics, one-star reviews. Critics, one-star reviews.
The film is no doubt a triumph of technical dexterity and especially of skill in color photography. But what is the use of making a hollyhock, go Google that, hollyhock of cellophane, painting it in an ugly color, spelled the British way, shove up your ass there, Britain, and then photographing it with complete accuracy. I sat cringing before MGM's Technicolor production of The Wizard of Oz, which displays no trace of imagination, good taste, or ingenuity. The story, of course, has some lovely and wild ideas, but the picture does not know what to do with them, except to be painfully literate and elaborate about everything. Raise your hand if you know what that person just said. I'm not going to pretend to even try.
Words!
Yeah. Again, English lit degrees are the bane of our society now, kids. And those are only the three of the only one-star reviews we've had. That's all they had for one-star reviews for the critics, so... People love this shit. Amazon, 5-star reviews.
5-star reviews. Amazon, 5-star reviews.
Bought for my 30-year-old brother last year. We had it on VHS as a kid, but it got recorded over at the end, so he had never seen the ending. How many times did you record over stuff when you were younger with the VHS recorders? That's always sucked. It was his favorite movie as a kid when he was young. He even wanted to be the Scarecrow when he grew up. He was diagnosed with a genetic condition that would eventually take his life. And suddenly, but we weren't sure how long he had left. Could have been minutes, could have been years. I bought him this movie last year so he could finally watch the ending. His best friend had asked him what his favorite Christmas gift was, and he said this DVD was, and he asked his friend to watch it with him. So two 30-year-old men sat and watched the movie they loved as kids. He died this May, and I was given this back as a way to remember him. I was glad he was able to see the ending finally.
All right, I'll give it a 3.
Did the mom go, guess what? Your life is ending, so here's the ending for Wizard of Oz. Next one. My middle son and I used to watch this movie whenever his two brothers got to do something that he couldn't do, and it was always a special night for us too. So his birthday is around the corner, 49, and I found the drinking bottle with the Wicked Witch on it saying, don't make me drop a house on you. So getting this movie, some popcorn, movie candy, etc., will bring back the many times the two of us stayed home when his brothers got to do something that he couldn't. So we each had our own special night with this movie that he loves and some movie treats for one of his birthday gifts. He used to hide behind me when the Wicked Witch would come out flying out and say, I will get you, my pretty, or when the flying monkeys would appear. I know this will be a fun gift, one he will enjoy and love to share with his family. I will also enjoy seeing it, too. I remember seeing this as one of my first movies that had color in it. Movies were 15 cents, so I could have a quarter and go to the movies and have a treat with my quarter. Signed, Judd Apatow's editor.
Wait, I forgot one quick anecdote that I wanted to tell, and since all of these reviews are about their childhood experience with it. The first time I saw this movie, my dad had somehow, for some reason, my whole family sat down and decided we were going to watch a movie, and it was The Fly.
Oh, which one?
The original.
Remake? Okay.
The original. And I was 8, maybe 7 or 8, and the movie still scared the shit out of me. And so my mom was like, this isn't a movie for kids. Because I turned the channel and Wizard of Oz had just started. So my mom was like, oh, we'll watch it. It must have been around the holidays, I guess, because I think they always play it around Thanksgiving or Christmas. And so we sat and watched that. And I think we were about halfway through the movie. And I said, can I just go to bed? And I went to bed.
Could you go back and watch The Fly? 1 year as a child, there was a hurricane. My mother flipped back and forth using the VHF and VHF knob and adjusted the antennas, but we could only watch it or listen to it, one channel or the other, while the storm raged outside. So I think this means more to us older people than today's instant gratification crowd. We had waited all year for The Wizard of Oz. Signed, Sam Champion. That is true, though. Carolla made actually a good point. He goes, you know, whenever I wanted to watch the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, it was one time a year. Now my kids can go on YouTube and watch it whenever the hell they want to. And there was there was no higher level of intensity yelling while you're in the bathroom or in the kitchen going, it's on, it's back on. And you have to run it, you know, book from the other room and get in there and slide on the floor before you missed a second. I often watch Wizard of Oz as a young boy, but viewing this classic as an older man was like watching the movie anew. The songs, of course, are unforgettable, but what went unnoticed as a child was the clever lyrics and dialogue and deep philosophical themes of this surprisingly adult story. Death is everywhere. Why does Dorothy love with her Uncle Henry and Auntie Em? Where are her parents? When she lands in Oz, her farmhouse kills one of the wicked witches. The Munchkins then celebrate the death of the witch in song. Later, as her time is running out, Dorothy is captive of the second wicked witch, who tries to kill Dorothy. Dorothy then inadvertently kills the second wicked witch by pouring water on her. That is a good question. Where are the parents? What happened to them?
I want to say, I think the book explains it. And her parents died, and she had to move to Kansas to live with her aunt and uncle. And that's almost one of the reasons she creates this whole fantasy. It's like a coping mechanism.
Oh. Did her parents die of a house falling on them, too?
Obviously.
Amazon, 1-star reviews.
Amazon 1-star reviews. It's time for Amazon 1-star reviews. Amazon 1-star reviews.
Clearly not as advertised. Disc made in Mexico. And to top it off, I have to spend $6 to send back and drive 12 miles to drop it off. You need more drop-off locations. Whatever program determines location drop-off, because 12 miles is ridiculous. We'll send it back on my own, but what a pain. Spent way too much with Amazon for them to start nickel and diming. Or you could just let the mailman come pick it up, which is what I do when I return stuff back to Amazon.
Or move out of bumfuck Texas, wherever you live.
She had to drive to the general store in town to pick up some goods, paper goods.
The Pony Express only comes around twice a month.
I guess driving down the mountain in a snowstorm is a bad idea, but not a good time. My youngest son wanted to watch this movie, so I rented it, only to find out it's on black and white. Needless to say, he didn't watch it. Total waste of money. I'm going to guess that they only watched the first 20 minutes of this film.
That's amazing.
I was supposed to get Oz the Great and Powerful, Xscape, Sugar Hits, and the great classic The Wizard of Oz. But I got a Dreamcatcher ornament that was addressed to the wrong residence. And get this, it was addressed to a woman. And no woman has been in that place. It's empty.
He's using the reviews as his own personal message board.
Yeah. I guess he doesn't know about the misconnection sections on Craigslist. And my last review of this section, and I think the most, you know, powerful. Ready? America is free.
Just like Oz is. See? It all comes together.
I mean, is he on the wrong libertarian website? And he said, Amazon, close enough. What film? Wizard of Oz? Fuck it. Let's make a message there where people will scratch their heads. People will scratch their heads and go, huh? Or maybe he's just Kaiser Soze-ing us with some elaborate prank. And guess what? You won. Kevin Israel, did Stoner Jesus, Joe Clare, did he gut the sacred cow?
In my opinion, he did. And I was happy to hear it happen.
Because you hate this film.
Yeah, I do. And you know what?
You're so transparent.
And just to prove that, yeah, well, you know what? All right. Yeah. You ask me and I'm telling you what I think. And just to prove that I'm not a heartless asshole, because I feel like people are going to be like, how could you hate this movie? My wife walked in and saw me watching it and she goes, ugh, I hate this movie. And I was like, and this is why we're married.
Oh, how cute. Yeah, I we went through it already. I got you. Yeah, my wife was like, she didn't hang out for this one or some. I know she did some of it. Most of it she did because we're watching with our daughter. And I wanted to see how my kid would react. She did sit through all of Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. And that tells the story I want to know. Enough of that stuff. Stoner Jesus, what are you up to? Where can we find you? What do you want to shout out and promote?
StonerJesus.net. Everything that I have going on as far as Stoner Jesus stuff, StonerJesus.net. I'm always there. Been there for almost 11 years now on the website. Still chugging along.
Go to that website. You will not have dream catchers mailed to you where a female was on the address label.
Like that last reviewer.
Kevin Israel, how about yourself?
You can go to KevinIsrael.com. I don't have a lot of dates coming up. I'm going to be taking about a 2-month hiatus. So I'll be back on the road doing comedy in February. But check me out there. And more importantly, please leave us a 5-star rating and a quick review on your podcast platform of choice. It helps us so much. We see every time we get some good reviews, we get bumps. It really helps us and it makes us happy. And then Kevin Goatee gets to post these great little acknowledgments of these reviews and shout out some of our favorites. So please do it. You might get acknowledged. And if nothing else, you'll make two little boys very happy.
You won't might get acknowledged. You will get acknowledged because we're not as big yet where I don't have to ignore all the fans or we don't have a social media person doing it for us.
Act Kevin. As if, Kevin.
Here's it. Let's pull the curtain behind like the Wizard of Oz. Ha! KevinGoatee.com. Check out for my horrible NFL picks. I've been ice cold, so just fade me for the last week or two. Yuck. But more importantly, guttingthesacredcow.com. Check us out. Tell a friend. That's all we ask. Tell a friend that we're just the best damn movie podcast out there. Stoner Jesus can acknowledge that, and he knows damn good and well. See, there you go. And guttingthesacredcow.com, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com. That's it, guys. Listen, Stoner Jesus, thanks again for coming and hanging out. We enjoyed you the first time with the taxi driver argument, and that's why we had you back. Yeah. So we loved having you, and thanks again, everybody. Take care. See you later.